Good morning. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be with you. I've mentioned already this morning that the founding pastor, Art Brodwick, has had a tremendous influence on my life. I was born and raised in Philadelphia, and when I was a teenager, I had this young man from Westminster Seminary at the church I was attending, and his name is Art Brodwick, and he was my youth pastor. And not only did the Lord use him then in my life spiritually, but the Lord continued to use him through the years, both individually, spiritually speaking, but then also in my call to the ministry. I am very grateful to Art. And I'm able to think back to your very first days. Frank Moser and I were with Art when the PCA came up north, if I can put it that way. And we were part of the formation of the Presbytery of the Ascension. After a while, it divided, and we are now, of course, Pittsburgh Presbytery. But it really is wonderful to be here, to be with you, to worship, and to have some of those memories come back. Two other things I'd like to say in my introduction. It could have been mentioned that I enjoy golf. I really enjoy golf. So, if anybody here is a member of Oakmont Country Club, I would love to meet you afterwards. If you take me, I won't break 200 probably, but I just thought I'd mention that. You never know. I did a funeral a number of years ago, and the people lived right by the Masters tournament. And so after I did the funeral, I said to them, by the way, do you have any? And it has not happened. To lay a foundation for our sermon today, I want to mention three resources, one that I am especially using for our sermon today. And that resource is by John J. Murray. And it has to do with providence. It has to do with a frowning providence. This is a book put out by the Banner of Truth Trust. It was written, about 35 years ago. And I have utilized it and utilized it and utilized it. And I'm going to utilize it a lot in our sermon today. And if you are finding that you'd like to do some more thinking and studying in reference to a frowning providence, two other books I'd like to recommend. One is by Thomas Boston called The Crook in the Lot. I'll mention this in the sermon, but it's called The Crook in the Lot. And the other one is by John Flavel, and it's called The Mystery of Providence. The Mystery of Providence. Let's pray and have our message. Heavenly Father, I don't want to stand up here on my own, and we really don't want to sit and listen on our own. And so in your grace, would you please have the Holy Spirit take control and greatly bring glory to the triune God. In Jesus' name, amen. William Cooper was a person who knew melancholy, who knew gloominess, who knew depression. He was a Christian and a hymn writer. And he, John Murray writes, knew more about the darker side of Christian experience than the brighter. In one of his hymns, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He has these words: "Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face." What is a frowning providence? Have you ever heard that expression before? What is it? Is this something Christians will taste? If so, how are we to deal with it? This morning, we will cover 5 points concerning this biblical subject, a frowning providence. And the first point is this: what do we mean by providence? Now, I'm not trying to insult you, realizing that this is Providence Presbyterian Church, but nevertheless, I want this to be our first point. What do we mean by providence? Forget for a couple of minutes frowning providence. Just what is providence? The word providence, which really is not used much today, comes from the Latin video, to see, and pro, before, thus meaning to see beforehand. But now listen, God sees everything beforehand because he has planned everything beforehand. God knows what is going to happen in advance because he has purposed it all. God is sovereign, and he purposes, and everything comes to pass as he has purposed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, talks about the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Listen also to what God says in Isaiah 46, verses 10 and 11. "My purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do." Providence is God bringing everything to pass, all the events and happenings in heaven and on earth that he has wisely, freely, and unchangeably ordained. In reference to you and me, that means God carries out every detail in our lives, from the smallest to the greatest, according to his plan for us. My friends, there is no such thing as luck. There is no such thing as, oh, bad luck. As Job said in the midst of his sufferings, chapter 23, verse 14, he performs the thing that is appointed for me. Thomas Boston: God has appointed the whole of everyone's lot, the crooked parts thereof, as well as the straight. Here is a person who is healthy. That is God's providence. Here is a person who is sick. That is God's providence. Here is a person who is employed. Here is one who is presently unemployed. God's providence. Here's a person who is 90 years old. Here's one who will die at 6 years of age. God's providence. Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. God carries out the things that he has appointed. Point two now. For our consideration here this morning, know that there are two kinds of providence. I'll be brief. The two kinds of providence are, there are smiling providences, and there are what appear to be frowning providences. There are workings of God that are favorable, pleasant providences, and there are workings that appear to be dark, unpleasant providences. Refreshing rain, a smiling providence. A drought, a frowning providence. A car accident, a house destroyed by fire, a sudden financial setback, frowning providences. A promotion at work, a baby added to the home, a healing from sickness, smiling providences. Flooding in Texas, fires in California, twisters in the Midwest, frowning providences. Once more, there are what appear to be dark providences, and there are bright providences. One may experience a crook in the lot, adversity, and one may experience a straight, smooth path, pleasantness. Which leads now to point three. Will Christians ever taste a frowning providence? Are there unpleasant providences in store for the believer? Answer, yes. The Bible leaves us in no doubt that adversity, a crook in the lot, is a normal part of the true Christian life. Listen to these words of John Murray. The Christian, although he is justified, remains a sinner in the midst of a fallen world. He is subject to all the ills that flesh is heir to. Some of the consequences of his past sins affect his life. He is subject to the discipline of his heavenly Father. Satan concentrates his attack on him. The world under the control of the evil one is hostile to him. His sufferings are compounded because he is a Christian. In the world, our Lord warned his disciples, John 16, verse 33, you will have tribulation. The Bible leaves us in no doubt that adversity is a normal part of the true Christian life. Another quote by John Murray. Sadly, such teaching seems far removed from the outlook that prevails in large parts of the church today. The impression is given that the purpose of the Christian life is enjoyment. Everything that stands in the way of enjoyment is to be eliminated. People are looking for a problem-free Christianity. But my friends, once again, the Bible leaves us in no doubt that a crook in the lot is a normal part of the true Christian life. I mentioned Thomas Boston. Thomas Boston lived in the late 1600s and the 1700s, and he was a godly minister in Scotland. And he was a man who had an abundant share of sorrows. He suffered from poor health. His children experienced sickness. In fact, 6 out of 10 of them died as young children. His wife suffered from ill health and became challenged with mental illness. He had to deal with difficult parishioners. He engaged in ecclesiastical wrangles. He labored in relative obscurity. Some of his sermons are the book, The Crook in the Lot, which deals from the Bible with the truth of the afflictions of believers. The Bible leaves us in no doubt that adversity is a normal part of the true Christian life. However, the believer is to be encouraged, is to be comforted, for all of God's sufferings come to the believer from God's character of love and goodness to us. William Cooper, behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Point 4, what are some of God's good designs in his dark providences? If we would reflect on God's providences, and John Flavel says we should, do we ever take time to observe and meditate on the workings of providence? It was to persuade Christians of the excellency of observing and meditating on God's providences that Flavel first published his work, The Mystery of Providence. So, if we would reflect on what God is doing, what are some of the things we would see as to his good purposes? I will mention several under point 4. A, dark providences are to try our faith. They are to show us what we are really like. Do you ever wonder what you're really like, spiritually speaking? Dark providences are to show us our true colors. John Murray, the test of a person's Christianity is what happens in the storm when the house is battered in the winds of affliction. Think of the Old Testament person, Daniel. Daniel certainly showed his faith in the Lord God in the episode of the lion's den, did he not? Think of the New Testament person, Stephen. Stephen certainly showed his faith in the Lord Jesus in his difficult time before the Sanhedrin and at his being stoned to death. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know, now listen, that the testing of your faith, trials, dark providences clearly test our faith. They are an examination of our faith. And so in 1 Peter 1, verse 7, we read, trials have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. C.S. Lewis once referred to sufferings as blockades on the road to hell. Now, I'm not sure what he meant by that, but this is what hits my mind. Sufferings can show us that we really don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we will turn to him in saving faith and not go to hell. That's A. B, dark providences are to expose our sins for greater depths of repentance. When we set off on the Christian pathway, John Murray, we do not know much about our true selves. We do not know much about the corruption, about the deceitfulness of the heart. Dark providences will show us our hearts for greater depths of repentance. The late Dr. John Gerstner taught me many things through the years. And one of the things that I still remember, he said it more than once in my presence, is this: the seed of every sin is to be found in our hearts. Dark providences expose those seeds, expose those sins for deeper repentance, for greater humility. C, dark providences are to build character. Another quote: whatever else we may have, if we do not have character, we have nothing. It is character that determines destiny. The only failure that matters in the end is the failure to build character. In ordinary life, character is formed by overcoming difficulties. And so we read in Romans chapter 5, the end of verse 2 through verse 4. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces patient endurance. Patient endurance, character. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because God, in his grace, will use them to bring about character to the glory of God. Perhaps we're tempted to ask, John Murray says, whether God can build character without suffering. Oh, God, I like this idea of character, and I want this character. Could you do it, though, apart from dark providences? It's a hypothetical question, my friends, because God has not chosen to do so. Read about the people of exceptional character in the Bible and see that God used suffering to build their character. I'm talking about Joseph in the Old Testament. I'm talking about Moses. I'm talking about Daniel. I'm talking about Mary in the New Testament. I'm talking about Paul and Peter. God used suffering to build their character. Now, there are two more pluses that I want to go into, but let me review by just mentioning them, the first three. Frowning providences try us, expose our sins, build character. And now, D, frowning providences bring us to know God better. The essence of eternal life, John 17, verse 3. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We are saved to know God, and to know God, and to enjoy God, and to glorify God. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 3, verse 10, that his ambition in life was, I want to know Christ. We know Christ better through the Word. We know Christ better through prayer. And many Christians also testify that they have learned more about Christ in the furnace of affliction. When I was a solo pastor, the late Reverend Tim Couch would come and help me out. If I was going on vacation, he would come and preach. If I just needed a break, he would come and preach. He would give me counsel. We became friends, of course. Tim went on to develop cancer, and as he was in his last weeks, as he was dying of his cancer, I sat with him in his house. If I remember correctly, he was in a hospital bed. I was in a chair. We were in the living room. And Tim looked at me and he said, I am thankful for my sufferings because of what they have taught me about the sufferings of Christ for my salvation. I am thankful for what I have learned about the sufferings of Christ in my cancer. Martin Luther has said, affliction is the Christian's theologian. Theology is the study of God. Affliction is the Christian's theologian. Here's a little poem I have memorized and I've used outside of the pulpit. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she, but oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. Last, E, frowning providences lead us to make God our all and prepare us for glory. If we experienced nothing but a life of comfort and ease here, there would be little desire for God and the glory to come. Dark providences lead us to make God our all and prepare us for glory. Thomas Watson has said, when God lays men on their backs, then they look up to heaven. Dark providences turn our hearts toward heaven, which is our home. Warren Wiersbe speaks of a friend who found herself in a sea of troubles. Attempting to encourage her one day, he said, I want you to know we are praying for you. She replied, what are you praying God to do? Warren Wiersbe says, well, I found myself struggling with that question. I never expected to be asked that. But I did go on to mention some things. And she said, "Thank you, but please pray for one more request. Pray that I won't waste all this suffering." I don't know how many times when I have found myself in a dark providence, I have prayed, "Oh God, take this away. What are you doing? I'm one of yours." And what we need to hear is, "Oh God, please don't let me waste this providence of yours." Our final part this morning is two truths that our Heavenly Father gives us for our comfort in dark providences. Two truths for our comfort. A, there is always a purpose of love behind dark providences. Psalm 23, verse 6. "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life." What is it that will follow me all the days of my life? Surely goodness and love. Romans 8, 28. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." In how many things? In all things, God works for the good. John 1, 16, "From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another." One act of grace after another. Quote, "One of the most difficult things to do when the road is rough is to feel that God still loves us." Perhaps that's where you are right now. You're going through a very difficult time, and you're struggling. Does God really love me? Does God still love me, or is he forsaking me? It's the last thing some of us can accept. But we're not called to feel. We are called to trust. "Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face." And then B, in dark providences, we need to realize there is much that remains a mystery and for which there is no immediate answer. Pastor, why? Pastor, explain this. I can't. Because there is much that remains a mystery and for which there is no immediate answer. Two proofs from the Bible. Job had no idea that he was the focus of a battle between God and Satan in his sufferings. It was 22 years after he was thrown into the pit by his brothers that Joseph of the Old Testament discovered the reason why. Genesis 50, verse 20, the saving of many lives. Thomas Boston confesses he was not able to understand the purpose behind his sea of troubles in Scotland. He was daily exercised about God's providential dealings. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. Let me leave us with these words. A frowning providence. There are frowning providences for the believer, for every believer in this life. But behind every frowning providence, there is God's smiling face. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us or teaching us what your word says about this aspect of life. And now we bow before you, Heavenly Father, and we ask for your continued working in reference to this truth. Please continue to work in each one of our lives. May we grow as Christians. May we be better Christians because of what we have heard and you are enabling us to bring into our lives. We pray for your glory, and in Jesus' name, amen.